This is certainly a good one. It's all about the anointing, bringing new leadership for the sleeping church. And this was given, both of these actually were given to Deborah Horton. This first one I'm going to share was back on December 2010. And it fit very good. The Lord reminded her of it because she'd totally forgotten about it with the second dream. It fit very good. Sometimes the Lord just takes a while to put these puzzles together for us. So we'll do our best today to put it together for you. Deb said about 5 years ago, which was, like I said, back in December of 2010, I dreamed that a handful of people and I were up front in the first class cabin of a very large airplane. Only a curtain or veil separated us from the rest of the plane. And I remember a flight attendant pulling back the curtain or veil to show us the people. And they were all peacefully asleep in their seats. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 15, we're told, "But unto this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their heart. But whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away." So the thing is, the law. People are blinded by the law. And this veil is removed when people turn their hearts to Him. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Now, you can understand why a lot of people in religion are veiled. They can't see this glorious gospel and how it works. And that's because they're under the law of religion. And instead of following the Spirit of God. Okay? And the church rests in the flesh, you know, like these people sleeping, you know, not realizing that they should be prepared for a trial of tribulation to sanctify them and to weed out the tares. And it will be the unveiled bride under the man-child ministry that will lead the elect among the sleeping church into the heavenly places in Christ at a time when most of them are falsely believing that they're going to fly away. Even as dirty as they are. This is, of course, a delusion, you know, put upon them by their false leaders. Deb went on to say, "I couldn't see the end of the plane. It was that big." So when the attendant opened the veil and they looked in the back, it was just full of people. They were all asleep, and it was an extremely large, long plane, and she couldn't see the end of it, which lets you know that's the church. And when the Saul leadership died for their witchcraft, all Israel sought out David, who was a type of the man-child ministry, and anointed him to be their leader. In 1 Chronicles 10 and 13, we're told, "So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for that he asked counsel of one that had a familiar spirit, to inquire thereby." And Saul got into witchcraft, just like the factious people who've rebelled and deceived their people today. In 14, and it says, "And inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse." And then going into the next chapter, it says, "Then all Israel gathered themselves to David, unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. In times past, even when Saul was king, it was thou that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt be shepherd of my people Israel, and thou shalt be prince over my people Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, And David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. So at this time, Jerusalem, the bride, under David, became the leadership of the true church. Verse 4. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, the same as Jebus. Of course, Jerusalem, as John was told, is the bride. And the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. And the inhabitants of Jebus said unto David, Thou shalt not come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. And David said, Whoso smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. Okay, well, you know, the leadership of God's people is taken captive by the old man of the land. And that has to be conquered so that God can build his glorious Jerusalem, right? And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first, and he was made chief, and David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore they called it the city of David. And he built the city round about, from Milo even round about. And Joab repaired the rest of the city. And David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. So you see there that the leadership of the new kingdom under the David man-child represents the bride there, Jerusalem. And that's who was in the front of the plane. First class. and all the people were behind them. But they're sleeping at this moment. But that's going to change. She said, Then the attendant let the curtain drop back. And the reason we were there was to take care of all the people who weren't in first class. God wants all of his people to be first class, right? He wants us all to come into the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us all to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, which revelation has been hidden by the false leaders and their legalistic doctrines and their demands to obey pastors who are not ordained of the Lord, you know, like it was when Israel fell away. They created leaders that were not ordained of God. And so here we are. But the Lord's got this solution on the horizon and getting closer all the time. And Deb went on to say, we were just so happy and very excited that we had the opportunity to do that. And 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. That's first class, right? Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. And Lord knows that love is the basic nature of the bride. She said the first class cabin had no seats. We were all standing. Since we hadn't expected to have seats to begin with, we were overjoyed just to be there. Well, standing represents the very opposite of sleeping. It means alert, upright, full of truth, walking the walk, so to speak, rather than unconscious and having eyes closed to the light of God's Word. So, that's why they're first class, right? Ephesians 6 and 13, it says, Wherefore take up the whole armor of God. What is this whole armor of God? What does it represent? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Of course, the whole church needs this, right? And having done all, well, we can't say the whole church has done that, having done all to stand. To stand. So, obviously, at this particular time, the bride is standing. and ready to take on the beast and the harlot of the tribulation. But the rest of them are sound asleep, thinking they're going to fly away. They're in the back of the plane, and they think it's a plane flying to heaven. But the truth is, they're going to be led by the bride who is in first class and led into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, because they're not really in Christ Jesus. They're doing their own thing. They're not abiding in Christ, which is where fruit and power and deliverance and healing and all those things is. They're in Christ Jesus, right? And then a flight attendant started giving all of us lunch. The lunch was a simple brown paper bag with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, carrot sticks, and a bottle of water. Don't sound like much, does it? But if you just do a little search on the internet for peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you'd be surprised. It's actually a health and a strength food for the body. And, of course, carrots promote good eyesight and less fat. And water is life itself, right? So we can see here that spiritual health, strength, discernment, transformation by the water of the Word is what's implied by this. That's pretty neat. And we were all of us, she said, beyond thrilled because we had never even expected to be fed either. Well, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, in other words, the bride in first class is not expecting what God is about to do. They can't imagine what God is about to do here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, "But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love Him." Now, who was it that loved Him in Song of Solomon? Who was it that loved Him in Esther? It was the bride. And the rest of the church was kind of ho-hum, you know, about running after the Lord. And, of course, to love Him is to keep His commandments, to have your eyes open to the light of the Word and keeping His commandments and standing. And Deb said, "I remember thinking, wow, we get to stand up in first class and we get to take care of all these people and we get fed. This is too good to be true." And that was the end of it. She woke up. And she said, I asked just now if the Father had a word for us about this dream and received by random on my computer Galatians 2 and 20. It's the same thing. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." You know, the Lord has put us on a road of faith for all things. For trusting Him for the healing, for trusting Him for deliverance, for trusting Him for provision, for trusting Him for protection, for trusting Him in all things. His Word says, it gives all these awesome promises, and most of the church ignores them. They're not coming to the marriage feast. They're simply not coming. And who is the bride? And all of the people that made the excuses not to come to the marriage feast were replaced. And the Lord was angry that they put their trivial, unimportant, uneternal things in front of God. So this message is pretty clear, I would say, and it fits very good with this message that she just received on November the 28th, 2015. And it's all about the anointed who deliver the church from her enemies. They supersede the Saul ministry and do what Saul couldn't do, because Saul was full of witchcraft and faction, and that was the only thing on his mind. And so Deb went on to say, in this revelation, I dreamed my daughter phoned me. Her name means, the Lord is my light. In other words, God is bringing something to light for us here concerning her. Yeah. And as we were talking, she broke down and cried. And she told me, Daddy, and I believe this represents the leadership of the apostate church, said that the whole family, that is their whole church, those in the back of the plane, I would say, exists only to help us. She said, Daddy said the whole family exists only to help us. And I believe that some leadership will be frustrated that their whole church is so busy spending its capital trying to help their own needy people that there is nothing left to fulfill their selfish ambitions. You understand what I'm saying? They got their eyes on the money, and they got their eyes on the strength and so on and so forth. They want to build their own kingdom. But we're coming to a place where the whole church is going to be needy. And you know where they're going to look first? They're going to look first to their pastors. As many people have in the past, they've become needy and looked to the pastors and got turned down, even after they, you know, supported the church, you know, put money into the church, et cetera, et cetera. And you know what? That really frustrates people when they find out that they're not worth anything. The only thing that they're worth is to support the pastor so he can build his kingdom. But as we give what we have, we will receive more from God. You know, recently I told you all that we had people that were being needy, and that anybody wanted to help, you know, could support. And some people did send in help, and we've been sending it out as we saw the need, you know. And this is something that is going to increase more and more in the church. There's a great need coming, worse than what we see now. As Job prayed for his friends, he received the deliverance and the help and the blessing that he needed. We reap what we sow. We're told, give and it shall be given unto you. Right? And a church that only consumes everything upon themselves in building the pastor's kingdom is not one that's going to last. People are going to fall out with them shortly. Most of the church is already guilty of not taking care of its own. I don't know how many times people have told me, so many multitudes of times people have come to me and said, well, I got in this situation and I looked to the church and asked the pastor and they just said they didn't have it. But they did have it, you know. Of course, we try our very best that when money is sent for a certain purpose, it's used for that purpose. And that's why I wanted to open up another, let's say, category here so that things could come in for this purpose to meet these people's needs. But what is coming with the failing economy and natural and man-made disasters along with persecution is going to be far worse than what we're seeing now. And it will bust their budgets. Or their people will see the hypocrisy and go elsewhere. Many will turn to the new leadership that we're talking about here in the former and latter rain anointing. Praise God. You know, another thing is that Moses, who had already been in the wilderness, was able to lead the people through the wilderness. But the leadership that they had in bondage in Egypt was not able to do that. They resisted. And once again, this is going to happen. It's about to happen. 2 Corinthians 8:14 says, your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, so that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Yeah, the Lord wants everybody's needs met, doesn't He? Amen. While she spoke, I somehow actually heard how sarcastic and mean he sounded. That is, Daddy, who made this comment, that the whole family exists only to help these needy people, right? And while she was talking, at that same time, I heard her dad's voice saying, "The whole family exists only to help you." And I was completely shocked. Now I believe Deb here represents Mom, because these are members of her body. You know, like her daughter is a member of her body. Her daughter is a part of the church that is in need, you see. I was completely shocked, and I blurted out, "What?" Because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. So Mom here represents the church, who is getting a revelation that the leadership doesn't think it's their responsibility to take care of its own. I'm telling you, listen now, this is something that's going to happen in the larger apostate church that's going to spring people out of there. They're going to find out that they're not worth anything if they can't build their kingdom for them. She tearfully repeated the sentence. Daddy, representing the leadership, said that the whole family, in other words, their whole church, exists only to help us. And then Deb put here Genesis 41 and 32, which says, "And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh, it is because the thing is established of God and will shortly bring it to pass." So it is coming. It is coming quickly. When these things hit the church and they can no more support their building program and all the other things that they do, watch. I just believe that this is a picture that will be repeated throughout the apostate church or Christianity as its leadership becomes frustrated and with the burden of taking care of its own and troubles to come, as it should. I mean, obviously, it's the people that are important, not the building, and not the ego, right? Much of the leadership thinks the church exists to stroke their own ego, line their pockets, fund their pet projects, and build their kingdom. But the church will see this, and multitudes will come out from among them, and God will have the true leadership waiting to serve them as the Sauls spiritually die and the Davids are anointed. Praise God. God's got the plan, doesn't He? We just need to fall in with Him in everything, you know. Learn to cooperate. Now, as she was repeating the sentence, Deb said, I had a vision within the dream. Okay, now the mom, who is the church at large, whose daughter is a member or a group of people that is a part of her body, right, is getting a revelation. I had a vision within the dream. I was in the spirit and high in the air inside a crowded airplane terminal. Here we are back to the airplane. Whereas a lot of deceived Christians are waiting to fly away. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, and they're going to know they can't play church anymore. They're going to know they need God, and they need a leadership that believes and acts and is bearing the fruit of what Jesus Christ gave us. Right? So the church here is getting a revelation of their apostate leadership, of their greed and apostasy. She said, "There I saw a man," which I believe represents the apostate leadership, "who was being chased by a group of policemen." You know, we had a dream I've shared with you, I know, many years ago, of the apostate leadership imprisoned in what looked like a FEMA camp. They were naked from the waist down. nakedness represents sin revealed, right? And the world has another saying, which also means this, involving someone showing their rump, right? So, obviously, this is what's being talked about here. You know, she said the police chasing the man looked foreign and not American. Well, the deceived leadership of Christianity are under the curse or judgment of the law, as Deuteronomy 28, you know, delineates. The law is foreign to true Christianity. We're not under the law. We're under the law of the Spirit, right? We are to train people to hear the voice of the Spirit. And the law separates from Christ, according to Paul in Galatians 5. And Paul said in Galatians 4 that those who are under the law are children of the handmaid instead of the free woman. And of course, we know the free woman is the one who inherits. The handmaid does not inherit with the free woman. Okay? The false religious leaders and their idolatrous institutions have put their people under their laws, which of course separates them from the voice of Christ as they see it in the Scriptures. If you don't believe it, you go and talk to them. Say, look, the Lord is telling me to give my tithe over here. You'll find out quick they're going to put you under the law. And if you don't get a revelation there, I believe people will get a revelation very soon. And the Lord is going to spring this trap on them to show who they are. And as a result, they have turned away from the Word and the Spirit of God and the grace paid for by Jesus. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The man carrying a small black something that looked like a suitcase, and it had a piece of fabric hanging out of it, as if the case had been quickly slammed shut. So this man, you know, was running from the law. And we might as well say this is the law of God. Okay, the law of God. You can't get away from the law of God. You might get away from the law of man, but you won't get away from the law of God. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap, the Lord says. So this guy with this suitcase running from the law and having slammed it and quickly running, it sounds a lot like somebody cutting and running with the cash, doesn't it? You're going to see a lot of that too. And also, a suitcase is for clothing, which represents their works in the Scriptures. For instance, Revelation 19 and 8 says, and it was given unto her, that is the bride, that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So this pure clothing is speaking of the bride. However, the church, and especially its leadership's works as a whole, are garments spotted by the flesh, as the Bible says, hating the garment spotted by the flesh, we're told, right? And it's represented by this black suitcase, which reveals that their works are in darkness. They would be ashamed to show people what they do. And the piece of fabric hanging out shows that they cannot hide their dark works from the world. Kind of like those guys with their rumps hanging out, right? They couldn't hide. The world knows hypocrisy when they see it. Even lost Pilate and his wife knew that Jesus was a just man, but the Pharisaical leaders saw him as evil. Pilate knew it was jealousy and self-ambition on their part to want to kill him, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it. The world sees through these egotistical leaders. The world does. And we have to. And Deb said, "Sorry, I can't recall the color of the fabric sticking out of the black suitcase, but from a previous dream I had back in the early 70s, I believe that the piece of fabric represents gossip or slander being spoken. In other words, character assassination or possibly secrets that are being revealed." Yeah, well, you know, the Saul leadership represents those who are demon-possessed with witchcraft and jealous and factious against the Davids, whom they have tried to kill. So that fits real good, too. I just asked for a word if my interpretation of the fabric in the suitcase was correct and received by random using my computer, Proverbs 18 and 21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Yep, whatever. If you're going to speak death, it's going to come back to you. If you're going to speak life, it's going to come back to you. "Whatsoever you sow, so shall you reap." What the wicked have done to try to character assassinate Davids, it will come back upon them. Their nakedness will be shown, and they will be under the law of God. You know, if you judge, by the way, according to the law and not according to grace, you're not going to get grace. You're going to get the law. Because whatsoever, don't be deceived, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. And Deb said, "This is absolutely amazing." I agree. I mean, yeah, people say you can't trust God to give you a word like this. Oh, my goodness. They don't believe in a sovereign God. And this is certainly some of their black works and a repetition of history that their forefathers persecuted Jesus and his true disciples. Jesus was our David. And, of course, that false leadership was the Saul ministry. The Sanhedrin was the false prophet, you know, that persecuted and crucified them. How could the whole group of denominations represented by the Sanhedrin crucify Jesus and all of his disciples? "But the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun." Deb said, "He was running into the terminal from the right to the left, based on my field of vision." She said, "as a goat." And I put representing stubborn rebellion, right? "And as the police closed in on him, or the law judged them, he then heaved as hard as he could with all of his might through the suitcase as far as he could into the crowd. Thought the evidence would just get consumed by the crowd, right? He was seeking to hide the evidence of their evil works in the midst of the multitudes." She said, "but before it could hit the floor, another policeman," remember now, the law of God, which is what this represents, can't be thwarted. Physical policemen can. But the law of God is going to be perfect because he's in control of that. He does that. He uses that. "Before it could hit the floor, another policeman who was in the crowd ran toward it and caught it." In other words, the law of God can't be deceived. It is a righteous judgment on those who break the covenant. "The policeman tucked the suitcase tightly under his arm like someone carrying a football and started to run from left to right." That sounds more righteous, right? Instead of right to left, what they're doing is leaving the right and going to the left like a bunch of goats. "Based on my field of vision. And as fast as he could toward an exit, because the police didn't know if the suitcase had a bomb in it." Well, their works are a threat and a curse to the life of the worldly, because they have brought disrepute to Christ and his word by their evil works and their teachings. So they are dangerous. You know, their works are dangerous. And when I asked for a verse for the day, I was given a cross-reference from the center column, Ezekiel 38 and 19. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Are we expecting a shaking? Yes, we are. So that the fishes of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. This is a mighty earthquake, something we're looking for now, although this text is physically speaking about something at the end of the tribulation period. It certainly fits good what's about to happen here. First of all, notice that a shaking is coming with the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord comes with the man-child, I believe it's going to be in the middle of these earthquakes that are crossing the country, and probably at the resurrection earthquake, which is the second earthquake, 3 days after the first one. And the second earthquake would be the New Madrid, splitting the country. And this presence will come in his David man-child company instead of flying away. The introverted and self-absorbed church will be shaken to its core, especially when they break out martial law, take away all their rights, and persecute them, as this administration plans to do. And it's going to be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken, that is, the kingdom of God, will remain. Everything that they've trusted in is going to fail them. And when they learn to trust in the Lord and His Word, it's not going to fail. Their false leadership will bear the brunt of judgment, for they deceived their own for selfish ambition. The Babylonish harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints, as Revelation 18 plainly tells us. Deb said, I asked for a verse specifically for the dream and was given, wow. 1 Chronicles 11 and 2. In times past, even when Saul was king, it was thou, that is David, that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. Samuel first anointed the David man-child company, who ultimately led them in victorious battles against the old man of the land, the Philistines, the Edomites, etc. And all this was while Saul was turning to witchcraft as the king, you know. So that Samuel anointing that David got before the anointing when he took over the reins from Saul was that first anointing. And it goes on to say, And the Lord thy God said unto thee, Thou shalt be shepherd of my people Israel. And thou shalt be prince over my people Israel. So after Saul died, all Israel turned to David. And this is the coming of the Lord as the second latter rain anointing on the David man-child company, according to Hosea 6, 1-3, where it says he's going to come to us as the rain, as the latter rain, on the morning of the third day. Just to put it all together. So the anointing and the persecution will deliver the church from their selfish, self-absorbed religion. Their religious cliques will be scattered as it was at the death of Saul. Israel was scattered. The beast was making war on the saints and they were scattered. And they're scattered for a good purpose, so that ultimately that they can share the gospel with the world instead of play church. That was what happened to the early church after Pentecost, you remember? The harlot and the beast scattered them. And Romans 10 and 15 says, And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. When the church starts giving out instead of just feeding self, they're going to be blessed to God. But if the church went out before the anointed led them, they would not represent the Lord and would tell the world their lies. So, God's got the plan, and He's going to do it. And about this earthquake sequence, technically, a dream only has to be fulfilled on the ground when all of its pieces, its constituent pieces, come together, right? You know, Sandy Shaw had a dream of this sequence of earthquakes, and other people did too, going across the country. And it was all about her going to California, and while being in California, there was the New York quake went off, and she was told she had 3 days to get back home or get across the New Madrid, in other words, the Mississippi Valley, before her path was closed. She had 3 days. There's 3 days between two earthquakes in the Bible, and that is the death of Jesus, the man-child, and the resurrection of Jesus, the man-child. And I believe that that first earthquake, the smaller one that's spoken about in Matthew chapter 27, and then again in chapter 28, it talks about the larger earthquake, the great earthquake, which I believe is the New Madrid, which is when Jesus was resurrected, or the man-child is resurrected, and when, of course, the man-child reaches resurrection life, that's that anointing where they're caught up to the throne and they rule. In other words, the Lord is coming in His man-child, just like He did in the body of Jesus, to rule and to reign on the throne of David. Strangely enough, Sandy is gone to California right now. And in this case, it's to bring her mother back whenever she returns. We don't know exactly when she's going to return. But that's just like her dreams. The dream is coming together. She's gone to California before, but everything in the dream, all the constituent pieces weren't there. And now it's looking more and more like this is happening. And so, are we close? Well, we don't know exactly how close, but she's over there now. And strangely enough, there's been a great rise in earthquakes in just the last couple of weeks. And earthquake swarms, both in and out of the United States. And volcanic action, too. Dutch Sense, if you want to go to his page there, he just put out a video about the New Madrid having an earthquake swarm. That's unusual. And he also put out one large earthquake warning. 2 7.7 earthquakes hit Pacific and South America. And then he put out one global false fracture. Earthquakes across 7,000 miles over one day. And these big earthquakes were making a straight line, although it's a curve when you go around the globe, right? For 7,000 miles, these big earthquakes were going off. Folks, something is happening. And then experts have begun to predict, because of all the earthquake swarms in Oklahoma, that the big one can't be very far off. Dutch also said there was a quake swarm there. And so anyway, you can go to the Extinction Protocol, and they cover that about the prediction of the big one. Everybody's predicting the big one. Off the West Coast, they're predicting the big one, you know. So why? According to the revelation of earthquakes as a series in Sandy's article on our site, this will be a 911. And I believe the administration has made preparations to promote this chain of quakes. But the Lord may beat them to the punch by 3 days. And that was in that revelation, or in one of the revelations there, that the earthquake came 3 days faster than the elite planned for it to come. And I think that article is UVM1:?/?page=series. You can go there and you can look at different revelations there about this sequence of events, which is coming. How fast? We don't know, but it's coming. And as I said, I remember Charlie and Linda giving me a testimony of them bombing the fault line on the other side of their house between their mountain range and the next mountain range. They heard an explosion, went out there, and fire was coming out of the ground, as you would with a bunker buster bomb. And then further down the valley, they did the same thing. And when the fire died down, a helicopter came up and inspected what had happened and flew off. And then they saw one on the far other side of the valley, but they didn't know how far. They didn't know if it was all the way on the west fault line, but it could have been. So what are they doing? What are they doing bombing the fault lines? What are they doing underneath there, too? They've got tunneling machines. Obviously, they can make fault lines turn loose. Earthquake machines, they've claimed, and so on and so forth. They are preparing for these days and other things that are going to contribute at this time, you know, I believe. Deb Horton got a verse by random today. She said, I've been seeing 911 everywhere, and today the verse I received was Revelation 911, where the scorpions are mentioned as in your vision. Well, I saw a vision days back of a scorpion with its tail, you know, raised, ready to strike. So let me explain to you what she's saying here. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fallen unto the earth, and there was given unto him the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up a smoke out of the pit. Well, some have talked about the New Madrid is doing that, a big pit full of smoke and fire coming out of it, and so on and so forth. As the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. And power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men as have not the seal of God upon their forehead. And it's, of course, still true. This is still true today. And it was given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. As in those days men shall seek death, and shall in no wise find it, and they shall desire to die, and death fleeth from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for war. Upon their heads, as it were, crowns like unto gold. Their faces were as men's faces, and they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, and as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses rushing to war. They have tails like unto scorpions and stings, and in their tail is the power to hurt men for 5 months. Now here's the verse she actually got. She just added that part because of my revelation of the scorpions, but at verse 9:11. They have over them as the king of the angel of the abyss. His name in the Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek tongue, he hath the name Apollyon. Well, there he is, the destroyer. A destruction is coming, the destroyer, which was also a name for planet X, according to what the ancients said. They called it the destroyer. And on that series also, that revelation is there. And of course we know Planet X is now being said to be in the area. People are saying it's going to show up in December. People are taking pictures. Whether they're authentic or not, I don't know. Some people say they are. But they may not have enough evidence there. However, this rise of quakes could be related to that. So I think people ought to sit up and take notice and be ready. Amen? It's just so interesting. It's just another warning from the Lord. You know, obviously, Sandy was over there in California when the New York quake went off. And then the Lord told her, you got 3 days. There is 3 days between Jesus' death, which was an earthquake, and his resurrection, which was an earthquake, the bigger earthquake. And so, you know, I don't know when she would be turning around to come back. That's up to the Lord. It would have to do with that earthquake. Or I don't know for absolutely sure that every constituent piece has come together here. I know that because of the mercy of God, we've received words about that he has delayed this thing up until now. Could this be it? It could. It could be. Well, we'll wait and see, as usual. I'm just excited that the Lord is showing us these things, you know, that they're soon to come anyway. Well, Father, we just ask you to bless us with wisdom and more understanding concerning these things. Is everything together after the delays? Is every time, Lord, she went to California, the dream appeared again afterwards, meaning that was not the fulfillment of it. It's still in the future. The next time she went, same thing. Afterwards, she still had the dream again, meaning that was not the fulfillment either. It's coming. So, Lord, we just ask you to show us. Ask you to get your people ready. Move them out of harm's way. Save your people who are your elect and who have your provision and who walk by faith in you. And we thank you for doing it, Father, in the name of Jesus.